Man, thank you. Maybe see unless you celebrate her birthday or an anniversary this past week. I know we've got one back there in the saddle room. Phil Howard right here. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you.
Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house today and to have you with us. A few things from the bulletin as we begin. First of all, we extend our sympathies to the Potts family at the loss of his father. Ask that you remember to pray for them, and they should be home shortly. So if you would remember to pray for them. Pray for the Van Dam family. Many of you will remember Brother Chad and his family coming and joining our church right before COVID. They had been here through missions conference and all of that, and then we had the lockdown. And then about 2 months after lockdown, they made a move to Springfield, Missouri. And Brother Chad last Sunday went to church in the morning, had a brain aneurysm then Sunday afternoon, and ended up passing away on Wednesday. His service is going to be on Saturday at 3 o'clock at Greenlawn down in Springfield, Missouri. And so please be praying for the family and pray for the service, that God would use that for his honor and glory. And just kind of FYI, Cindy and I are going. And then their pastor, Brother Brudnick, asked me to go ahead and stay over and preach on Sunday. So next Sunday we'll not be here because we're going to be down there and trying to be a blessing to the family and so forth. And then we start camp next week. So next Sunday, we'd like to be loaded by 1 o'clock so we can get headed out of here. And so if you can be ready for that, I would say, you know, a good time might be 12:45 to be here with your children's valuable items that they're going to take to camp. It's always funny. You know, it used to be when you go to junior camp, the guys would drag one suitcase, the girls would drag one suitcase. Now it's the guys drag two suitcases, the girls drag three or four. I can remember Brother Gary last year saying, I get deployed for a year, and I have a whole lot less luggage than my girls do. So, you know, anyhow, it's always a fun time. I hope you're praying about camp. We need young people surrender to the Lord, a desire to walk with him, and we need young people in the Lord's work, and so please be praying about that. If you haven't turned in your forms, if you haven't turned in your money, if you could do so today, that'll make next Sunday a lot easier on Brother Charles, and so if you could do that, that'd be great. Please pray for Brother Joe Decker. He'll be preaching, and a good man of God. He'll do a great job. So the word of God will be there. We just need to pray that the Lord will do his work in their lives. And then we're going to do the flagpole dedication on June the 13th. That's the day before Flag Day. Thought that was awful fitting. And so if you could pray for no rain then, that would be a blessing. That'd be our second attempt at it. And then we have Father's Day on the 20th. I encourage you to come and to be with us that day. We'll look forward to being together. And then Independence Day, we're going to be going for the evening service out to the Foster Farm. And I hope you were out there yesterday. Man, it was a beautiful wedding. God was so good to us. The Friday of rehearsal, it was still real sloshy, and there were spots you could probably ski across easier than walk across. And yet God was so good yesterday. Weather was great. You know, the sun come out, make you a little hot. Then the breeze would blow, make you a little cool. It was just perfect. And we had a great time. And pray for Erica and Jared as they travel. We learned, several years ago that being on a honeymoon, and I always caution couples when I'm giving them their counseling sessions to be so careful. And because Brother James flipped a car when they were on their honeymoon down in Tennessee. And so just pray for them for safety, as they go. God give them a great time, and sure pray for them as they start their ministry in Nebraska. And then continue to pray for Richard and Leslie. We took Brother Richard to lunch on Thursday, and he was saying I told him church was praying for him. He said, well, I think that's why we're starting to get some dates coming in. And so pray that God would fill his calendar and keep them busy, that he'd soon be able to get the support that he needs to be able to go to the field. All right, I'd like to dismiss those on the instruments at this time. Brother Foster, I'm going to do a change up here. We have Brother Alvin Roberts with us. I met Brother Alvin at a couples retreat that Cindy and I attended earlier this year. And he came up, introduced himself, and has come to be with us today. He represents a unique ministry called BEAMS, B-E-A-M-S. Some of you may have already know about BEAMS, but I've given him 5 minutes here to tell us about BEAMS. And so, brother, it's all yours. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good to have you here.
Giving a preacher 5 minutes is like putting him in prison, you know. 5 minutes. So I'll tell you what, I'll talk fast, you listen fast. We'll see if we can get to that. My name is Alvin. This is my bride, Sharon. We've been married 4 years, and God has given us a second time around. Both of our first spouses are in heaven, and God put us together, and we're still doing the BEAMS ministry, which is a Bible ministry out of Gulfport, Mississippi. Stands for Bible Education and Missionary Service. Our ministry sends out about 10,000 Bibles a month to over 3,000 missionaries and national pastors in over 150 over 150 countries. So I'm talking too fast. My mind can't keep up with my lips. But we send Bibles to all around the world. In fact, Brother Kratz, I just talked to him just briefly. He said he gets Bibles from BEAMS. So our goal is to get to equip the missionaries with the tools that they need to get the job done that God's called them to do. So if we can take one thing off a missionary's plate that he doesn't have to worry about, he knows he's got a supply of Bibles coming on a regular basis, it will help him to get his job done. Make sense? So what we do is we raise the money for Bibles, and then we end up taking Bibles to the churches and encourage people to take a box of Bibles and pray over them and mail them to a missionary. And so that's what I'm here for. I'm on a mission. Amen. I've got 40 boxes of Bibles in my car out there that I'm trying to get to the mission field. This is seed in the barn, Pastor. Yeah. It needs to get to the field. And where would you be without your Bible?
Right.
None of us, we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the Word of God. And so the most valuable thing you have in your home is not your jewels and your money. Your most valuable thing is your copy of God's love letter to you, His Word. If you can't get excited about the Word of God and about the ministry for the Word of God, your exciter's broken.
Yeah.
You need to get it fixed, all right? But I do have 40 boxes of Bibles out there. They're not cheap, all right? It costs money to get the Word of God. Somebody's already paid for the Bibles. They're paid for. Somebody's already sacrificed to pack the Bibles, get them ready to go to the field. And now we take these Bibles, these packed boxes, and this box here is going to Thailand to Rich and Gway in Thailand. So we do this in order to help people realize that, you know, just because we put our money to send the missionary to the field, he's still got his job to do, and he can't get it done without the help of the Word of God. So we'd encourage you, if you could, to take a box of Bibles. It costs about $85 now to take a box. You say, boy, that's a lot of money. Yes, it is. But I take my family out and eat. It's going to cost me anywhere from $80 to $100 every time, and 3 or 4 hours later they want to eat again. This is not really spending money, it's investing in the work of the Lord. All right. And it's a wise investment. Nothing is more valuable than the Word of God and getting the Word of God to the people of the world. Thank you, Pastor. I don't know if I stayed within the 5 minutes, but I tried.
Here, we'll take that one. I'll let my wife ship this one for you. Amen. Well, get around to talk with Brother Alvin. I know he'll be a blessing to you. We give money to missionaries already to help get Bibles around the world, but they've come to be with us today. I think it'd be good if we'd give them $1,000 to help with Bibles. So I'd like to make that motion. I'd like a second on that. Okay, we've got several hands. All in favor, aye. Anyone opposed? All right, good deal. It's our honor to have with us today the Kratzes. They're not new people to us at all. We've covered some miles with them, and I'm glad we have. You know, I like traveling with good people. You know where they're going to be when you see them the next time. They're not wandering all over creation. They're just serving the Lord. And that's what I can say about Brother Rick and Miss Joyce. They're faithful. And I'm thankful that God put our lives together so many years ago, even before I was pastor and became their pastor. So many years ago, they were at our wedding. Mrs. Kratz played. Brother Rick wrecked a car trying to get there, and it was just an exciting wedding. You should have been there. Where were you guys, huh? But anyhow, it's just been so great to be able to partner with them to eat dinner in Papua New Guinea. I'm telling you, there's no better pineapple in all the world than in Papua New Guinea, and so you'll need to go. You'll need to go. It's a great time. And then to share the Word of God and see people walk the aisles and respond to the Word of God, see them get saved, see them get Bibles from beams when they get saved. It's just exciting to be a part of the Lord's work. So Brother Kratz is home. He has got a new video. He's going to show that, and then he's going to preach for us. Brother Kratz.
All right, just by way of introduction, some of you have known us for a long time. There are some new people here, though, that don't really know us very well or know us at all. And at least I don't know you at all, so you probably don't know me at all either. And it is exciting that about 2 days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, was our anniversary, 36 years in Papua New Guinea. And it's been great, trials and all that. But overall, the ministry's really been great there. And we've got a little video presentation, I think about 8 minutes long, that will show you some of what's gone on during those 36 years. So, as our other preacher here said, you're going to have to listen fast or watch fast. There's actually just music in the background, and then you'll have to read the titles on the things. Some of the old photos, of course, are not as good as the new digital photos, but it shows you the early time there. And just a brief recap to help you with the video itself, we have been involved in starting or helping in 11 churches being established there in Papua New Guinea and in the islands region, four or five islands where we are and minister in. There are about 16 mission works going on right now. And then because of people getting saved where we are and going back to the main island, there are about 20 mission works in the highlands of the main island. We've seen 16 men ordained. Sorry to say, I mean, it's good for them, but bad for us. Five of them have died, and one was actually martyred during a civil war, and one recently, many of you have met him, had a severe stroke that has debilitated him. Working with 24 preachers currently preaching. And it's thrilling to see second and third generation works. That's one thing about longevity. When you've been somewhere 36 years, you can see what you've started and then what that started and then what that started. And you also know that we have the excitement of our grandson coming over to work with us, and that's third generation as well. And so that's a blessing. Three prayer concerns that I want to leave with you before we go into the presentation. And some of you have been doing this for a long time, but please pray for a piece of property for Simpson Harbor Baptist Church to be able to build. We have the money, we got a loan, everything's there, and we need property. You're going to see a sign with the cover taken off of it for Kokopo Bible Baptist Church. They waited 28 years for a piece of property. It is very difficult to get property on our island. So please pray for us. We did get reacquainted with a man on the way out of the country that works for the lands department, and he said his job is to get land in the hands of the people who need it to develop it. Happens to be, he used to be our neighbor in Rabaul before the volcanoes. My wife led his wife to the Lord, and his daughter, He wanted nothing to do with us at that time. But since they moved over to the main island, he started going to church with his wife, and he got saved. And so one of our flights, we didn't get to get on. Long story, not going to tell it. So we had extra days in Port Moresby, got to meet with him for a couple hours, and he's supposed to be finding us the best piece of property that he can. So please, this is a very, very, very important prayer request. Please continue to pray. We'll let you know when we get property. Then you can quit praying about it. Then you start praying about the building. Then also please pray for our health. My wife and I are at the start of beginning to get old. Okay? Now, I'm older than she is, but please pray for us because we don't have good medical care there, and we want to stay there as long as we can. And as long as we can stay healthy and as long as we can be there, we want to be there. So please do pray for our health. And then please pray for us as we need to do some increased security on our house. Since we left, a couple armed guys came, cut a hole in the fence, started to come in until I have three guys staying on our property. One of them yelled, the other one turned the dog loose. And everyone in the area knows my dog. And so when they said, let the dog loose, they took off. Amen. And went up the hill. But we're needing to replace our fence with a stronger fence, steel picket fence. Probably should get some security on doors and windows and stuff. It's going to cost a bit of money. So please pray for us as we... they're working on that right now, as a matter of fact. We have one bid in already on doing that. In the 36 years we've been there, I'm not bragging unless I'm bragging on God, but in the 36 years that we've been there, we've seen thousands of souls saved. We do appreciate the Beams Bible. I think we get maybe a box every month. I don't know exactly. Well, the mail's not consistent, for one thing. You got all my guys that win souls know where the Bibles are. And they usually take some with them. And when they get saved, we're able to give them a Bible. So that's a blessing. All right, we're ready for 36 years in Papua New Guinea.
The roots. Every day.
All right. Well, we have a little bit of time left in our Sunday school class, and I want to share with you a challenge from the Word of God in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, turn there. We won't be able to say everything I would normally say because I normally say it in 30 minutes. We've got 15. So I'm going to skip every other word. You fill in. And I think you can do that. I think your brain can do that. But anyway, we probably won't do that quite just like that. But in Romans chapter 1 and verses 14 through 16, we're going to be talking about something that really is the greatest power in the universe and transcends the universe. Of course, to have the greatest power has to be God's power, and it is God's power, but it's God's power through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that excites me more than the Word of God. There's nothing that excites me more in the Word of God, I suppose, than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, than the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Paul said, I am debtor. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this portion of your word. And I do pray that you would bless as we go back and look at some statements that we've just read in your word, and I pray that you would challenge our hearts. I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us in our desire to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ spread, to see people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In verse 14, we see what has to be the absolute greatest debt in all the world. Paul said, I am debtor. And Paul, it wasn't just about Paul. Yes, Paul was debtor. But every child of God is a debtor as well. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And you all know what a debtor is, right? I mean, most of you have been a debtor at one time or another. At least, I mean, unless you're very wealthy, at least in buying your house. The good thing about buying a house, if you buy it right, the good thing about buying a house is that you have more value very soon than what you actually took out the loan for. And of course, you're paying it back at the same time. So you're a debtor, but maybe a wise debtor in that sense. I've been a foolish debtor several times in my life. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but with some credit card debt and things like that, that I had to work very hard and control some other spending and stuff like that to pay it off. Well, I'm thankful that it's paid off. I'm no longer debtor in that sense. Proverbs 22, verse 7 warns us against that kind of debt. The rich ruleth over the poor, Proverbs 22, 7, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I don't want to be anybody's servant but God's servant. But every one of us as God's servants, every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, as God's servants, every one of us are debtors. And then the Bible tells us to whom we are debtors. He said, both to the wise. And in comparison with the other verses here, the wise would include the Greeks. Those are Greeks by nationality, those who were considered Greeks because of the Greek influence at that time. He's speaking of the educated. He's speaking of the cultured, the wise. you are a debtor, I am a debtor, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the wise. But not only to the wise. He said to the unwise, to the barbarians, to the uneducated, the uncultured, the rude, the rough, the harsh. But by command, you saw the command, you already knew the command. Most of you could have just quoted that verse rather than reading it in the presentation there. In Matthew chapter 28, also in Mark chapter 16, we're to go and teach all nations. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are debtor as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're debtor to all classes of people. You're not too good to share the gospel with anyone. Neither are you unworthy through the Lord Jesus Christ to share the gospel with anyone. It doesn't matter if it's a businessman or a laborer or a drunkard. Now, you need to witness to them while they're sober, but it won't do any good to witness to them while they're drunk. They might even call on the Lord, but they won't know what they're doing. To the addict or to the moralist. There may be someone here this morning who does not know, truly know, the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now you need to hear the gospel. I am debtor to you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Even though you may try to be a moral person, you're still an enemy of God. You're still at enmity with God. You need to be reconciled to God. And the only way you'll be reconciled to God is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 7, and most of you are at least somewhat familiar with this portion of scripture, but in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23, Jesus said that there would be many in that day that would say unto him, Lord, Lord, have we not done this or that other religious thing? And there are a lot of people counting on the religion, counting on their church membership, counting on their infant baptism, counting on some kind of religious deeds or observance to get right with God. But the gospel shows us, of course, that that is not how it works. We don't get right with God that way. So we have the greatest debt. And then secondly, we have the greatest, I love it. Verse 15. This is a work ethic, really, that my dad taught me, that I learned from my dad and stepdad for that matter, but as a laborer from my dad, I don't think I can work quite as hard as I used to, but the greatest resolve, in verse 15, Paul said, because I am debtor both to the Greeks, to the wise and the unwise, the barbarians, because I am debtor to all men, so as much as in me is. Now, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 that we ought to do everything in our life just like that. Yeah. So as much as in me is. When I was considerably younger, I used to play sports. I used to box. I didn't really call that playing sports. But anyway, it was a sport. I used to be involved in those kinds of things. And some of you are, some of you were. One thing about boxing is you can't goof off. And someone else on the team make it up. You goof off there and you're going to be goofing off. Laid out on the canvas. So when I would box, I would do it with as much as in me was. Leave it all there or you're going to be left there. Right? That's the same way with every kind of sport. And it should be the same way with every kind of work that we do. Any company, any boss wants to hire people who will, as much as in me is, do the best job I can for that company, for that person. If you're going to start a business, you're going to do it as much as in you is. In our sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to do it as much as in me is. With everything I have, every fiber of my being to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, That was his heart's desire. In Colossians, he wrote, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Whatsoever, in context, if you go back and read before there, family, family life, employment, school, any interaction with anyone, as much as in me is, I'll do it for the Lord and for the Lord's glory. And that should be the resolve of every one of us. And then in verse 16, we see what was mentioned at the start, the greatest power. The greatest power. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." If you're saved today, you're saved because somehow the gospel of Jesus Christ was shared with you. Amen. And you believed it and you called on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's not a saved person here that got saved any other way. There will not be a saved person anywhere in the world that is saved any other way than through what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, his burial, his resurrection. Now, there may be things that hinder you from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might even be a false pride. It might be an insecurity. It may be any number of things. If anything is keeping you from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, then you need to pray and you need to ask God to help you to overcome that, because God will work in you. Philippians 2:13 says, God will work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is his will, it is his good pleasure for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he will help us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the most powerful thing in the universe, transcends the universe, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And never doubt the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may have witnessed to someone numerous times, and they're just hard. That doesn't mean they will remain hard. There may come a time in their life when they are really brought low, and they're ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as you're planting the seed, and as long as they see your testimony, they will know to whom to go when they want help. The gospel of Jesus Christ will save to the uttermost, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, to the uttermost, them that call upon him. And then finally, in verse 17, we see the greatest transformation. Now, some of you who grew up in church, you won't have in every detail the transformation that some of us had. You were never involved in some of the things that some of the rest of us have. But you still have the same depraved nature and still have the same depraved nature. You still needed Jesus Christ to die for your sins on the cross in order to be saved. You don't have to be a drunkard or a drug addict or immoral or whatever. You can be in Sunday school every Sunday all of your life. But you need to understand your depravity, your sinfulness, your enmity with God, and be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the greatest transformation. For therein, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shows us the righteousness of God. Not a one of us could attain the righteousness of God by ourselves, by our works, by our morality. As a matter of fact, as an enemy of God, and as a sinful being, we have absolutely nothing to bring to God. We come to him for what he has for for us. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is totally out of reach to depraved humanity. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Paul spoke of the Jews, how that his heart's desire was that the Jews might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they had a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. And they were trying to attain the righteousness of God by keeping the law, but that it was impossible to do. And the only way to attain the righteousness of God was through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that salvation, that righteousness, that transformation from a sinner to a saint happens in an instant when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. COVID has had a terrible impact on many of our churches and our evangelistic efforts. It has really hindered. People don't want you coming to their door. People don't want you talking to them. Everybody behind the mask and all of that. They're just not. It's changed things. But that just means we have to be creative, find a way, wherever, share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. I pray for each born-again child of God here this morning that you would strengthen us, challenge us, encourage us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And then, Father, I pray if there is one here that has not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they might do that before they leave here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We'll go ahead and take a break.